Each of our lessons this morning addresses the sermon title, Imagine. Because in each of our selections, we're invited to imagine. Imagine something better. Imagine God's world for us, which is different from our world. And we first turn to Acts. And you know that Acts is officially called the Acts of the Apostles. And it is kind of a history book about the early church. And believe it or not, the early church was not a perfect place. There were arguments in the early church, just as there are throughout the centuries and even now. And one of the things that the early church was disagreed about was that it had started out as kind of a sect of Judaism. And everybody that joined the early church was already circumcised. That is, they were a member of the Jewish faith. But then they started having these other outside people, these foreigners, these pagans, Romans, Greeks, all those kinds of people coming in who were not circumcised. Some people said, and Peter was among them, if you want to be part of us, you got to be just like us. And you have to be circumcised, for one thing. Which is fine when you're an infant, but not as pleasant when you're an adult. But Peter had an open mind. So we're going to read about how Peter's mind was changed. And then we're going to read in Revelation about a guy named John, but not John the gospel writer, not John the disciple, but another John who was relegated to the island of Patmos in the middle of the sea between Greece and Turkey. And here they're oppressed by the Romans, and he has a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to read about that. And we're going to finally read in John about Jesus telling his disciples, okay, you've followed all these old commandments, but I've got a new one to you, and I want you to obey that even after I leave you. I want you to love one another. So all new ways of imagining how to be a person of faith. And we're going to first start with Acts 11. Now the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." And now our moderator will read from Revelation.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated in the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.
Now we turn to our gospel lesson for this morning, John 13, 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you no longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jewish leaders, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." And here does end our reading of Scripture on this fifth Sunday in Eastertide. Once we believed in us versus them.
Now we know that all are one in Christ.
Behold,
a new heaven and a new earth. Once we believed in clean and unclean.
Now we know that all are one in Christ.
Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. Once we believed everyone had to be the same.
Now we know that all are one in Christ.
Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. Once we believed in status and money.
Now we know that all are one in Christ.
Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. Once we believed in divide and conquer.
Now we know that we are all one in Christ.
Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Way back in 1971, the same year I graduated from Eden Theological Seminary in St. Louis, a fellow named John Lennon wrote what became his most well-published and well-loved solo song. He expressed a version of hope and of peace in a world where everyone would live together. He called it Imagine. We found out later he wrote it together with his wife, Yoko Ono. The song has been played countless times. In fact, it's been played all over the world. The last time I heard it was at a confirmation service in the town of Küsnacht, Switzerland, back about 10 years ago. The Swiss kids, they chose all English language tunes, and Imagine was their favorite. So imagine, sang Lennon, imagine a better world. Well, each of us imagines, don't we? We like when our kids have imaginations. Each of us has dreams. I had dreams last night. I wish I could remember all of them. I think they were good this time around. When we are young, we imagine what we will do when we grow up, huh? With Piper Nicole. Now we imagine, ooh, what's life going to be like for her? And are we taking good enough care of God's earth that life is going to be as good for her as it has been for us? And for me, holding Nicole reminded me of holding my own grandchildren. My oldest will now be 14 on Tuesday. And so we think of that, each of us who are parents, grandparents especially. Way back in 1963, before John Lennon, a fellow named Martin Luther King Jr., a Baptist pastor, we've heard of him, he gave a famous speech called the I Have a Dream speech, where he imagined a time when his children would be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. We're still working on that, aren't we? The people of biblical times also dreamed and imagined, and we heard from some of them today. I told you about Peter, whose mind was opened and broadened so that he could think of the church is including not just people just like him, but these uncircumcised Gentiles. Yes, divided people became one. And then John of Patmos, he's been sent to this island in exile. And there he's a prisoner, but he wants to encourage the people. And as opposed to John Lennon, who imagined a world without religion, without heaven, John of Patmos imagined a new heaven and a new earth. And he could see a holy city called the New Jerusalem there on a hill. Jerusalem is literally on a hill, but his was even more. And in this New Jerusalem, in this new heaven and this new earth, both heaven and earth, there would be no more crying, there'd be no pain, but there would be simply love. Now, John of Patmos shared his vision and opened that when he wrote a letter to the seven ancient churches, and you can read those. The visions are contained in the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, which we call Revelation, not Revelations, I remind you, Revelation, the revelation of the apocalypse. Now, this book has intimidated people ever since it was written, I think. Martin Luther, the great reformer, thought it should not be included in his translation of the Bible. John Calvin, the great reformer of Geneva, refused to write a commentary about it because he just thought it was even beyond his understanding. He just kind of thought, if I just don't write about it, maybe I won't have to deal with it. The book is full of fantastic images, grotesque things, just like you'll maybe see if you watch the Game of Thrones tonight. It's got violent cataclysms. And it's hard for us rational modern people to understand, just as much as it was for people like Martin Luther and John Calvin. The word revelation means unveiling. Okay, there's a veil in front of you, then it's spread apart, and then you see more clearly what God has in store for you. It was meant as a source of hope and strength for the people of the Roman Empire. But unfortunately, the book has been both used and abused throughout history by us human beings. We've made it into a sort of a fortune-telling document. We look at it as a code book or a prediction machine, and we say, oh, this means this and that means that and blah, blah, blah. And frankly, people have got it all wrong more than they've gotten it right. Some even talk of a rapture, which is not really a biblical concept. And they become obsessed with the second coming, so they can't even think about the first coming. They're just always thinking about that. And they neglect life here. I still remember a time when Karen and I were visiting our Uncle Ann up in the UP. And we were picking blueberries. And we encountered a very kindly elderly gentleman who said with a wistful smile and was like, won't it be wonderful when the rapture comes? And all I could think of was, what's so bad about picking blueberries right here? different viewpoints. But that's the problem. How do we balance our appreciation for life right here? And frankly, most of us have it pretty good. And for life in the future, huh? The here and the now versus the future. The writer of Revelation had an appreciation for both dimensions. He imagined, as I said, a new heaven and a new earth. And he imagined both an up there and a down here. A theologian named William Loder comments that John had hope for both heaven and earth. He looked up to God, and he knew that God would not forget the earth. And with Jesus, he also remembered that we are challenged to love one another, especially those of us who are not so lovable. And we are challenged to love one another. And he might have agreed with Henry David Thoreau, the great 19th century poet and philosopher from New England, who wrote, "Heaven is under our feet as well as over our heads." Heaven is under our feet as well as over our heads. Both end. That's the kind of thinker I am. My wife and I, when we're asked to make a choice, well, we take both. And in a way, that's what I think John is advocating. Take both. John spoke of a new Jerusalem, a city, reminding us that the Bible started out in a garden in Genesis, and then it ends with this city in Revelation, a garden to a city, but both beautiful in their own way. Others have imagined a holy city. Our Puritan ancestors that would have started a first congregational here in town way back when, back in the, not the last century, but the century before that, they talked about a new Jerusalem, and John Winthrop talked about a city set on a hill. Ronald Reagan then took that imagery also and utilized it. And since that time, yeah, we've attempted to build communities of hope and cooperation. Where I used to live in Ripon, they had a community called Soresco, where they tried to establish a community of love and compassion and sharing. And they succeeded for a while, but eventually they failed. What about us? Can we imagine a better life in this world? Do we have hope? Are we optimists? Some of us are literally optimists, members of the Optimist Club. Yes. Can we envision and live for a new heaven and a new earth? Can we, with Brian Sergio, our wonderful UCC musician, now pastor, sing that song, Dream God's Dream? Can we allow God's dream to be our dream? Can we imagine a world where relationships last, where people are fed, where we don't try to dominate one another, but somehow we work things out with one another? We can dream dreams and allow our imaginations to join with God in building that new Jerusalem. And I think of some specific examples. Well, I think right here. There you see a picture of this church, huh? A little different. Because way back in 1959, about 60 years ago, there were people from First Congregational Church and Zion Evangelical Reformed Church that got together and said, hey, you know, they're starting this new church, the United Church of Christ. Why don't we be the visible symbol of that and form a new church? And they did. They took a chance. They set aside any old differences of opinion or whatever, old loyalties about whose china you use and whose silver you use. Then they eventually built this church right here. And you called my friend Wolfgang Kehler to be your pastor at one time. And then, of course, you had others, didn't you? Yes, but you've become a You're known as the UCC, huh? UCC, the United Church. That took imagination. But then I also think of other people. I think of a woman, Barbara D'Souza, who stood in this pulpit, I think back in 2002. She was a fearless woman. She came from River Falls, but she went down to Brazil. She got divorced and thought, man, how can I do things better in life? And what she ended up doing in Brazil, she stayed there and she founded a health clinic for women in one of the favelas, one of the slums. And she told us about that back in 2002. That took not just imagination, but guts. She was a feisty lady. Now she's living in retirement in North Carolina, I believe. And then I think of a 41-year-old swimmer back in 2008, a woman named Dara Torres, who had been Olympian many times. But here at ripe old age of 41, she also won a couple silver medals. And she said, your dreams can't stop because you've hit a certain age. And there are many of us here with gray hair and no hair that might want to particularly remember that. Your dreams can't stop because you've hit a certain age. And finally, more recently, I think of a Milwaukee artist named Willie Weaver Bay, who now in Milwaukee is trying to communicate across racial lines and build a community of hope. Even though he was in jail for 40 years, but when he got out, he had hope and the imagination, and then he started doing these paintings, all trying to bring people together. I have these thoughts today as we prepare to welcome Piper Nicole Keller to this community of faith. And this community is not limited to this little small county seat town in the middle of Wisconsin, but it extends to the farthest reaches of the globe where Christians are gathered for worship and service today. And with John of Patmos in the first century and John of Lennon in the 20th century, and with the one we call Jesus the Christ, we imagine a world where the hungry are fed, the thirsty are given water, the homeless are offered a bed, the naked are clothed, the sick are comforted, the prisoners are not just visited, but rehabilitated, and the hopeless are given new hope in the birth, in the death, and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine such a place. Imagine such a world. Amen. And now we join in prayer. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Dear God, we dream, we imagine, and we pray on this day that we can dream and imagine your dream. We give you thanks that we've been called into this church where people had dreams and imaginations and fortitude also. And we pray that we may also be among them. Those of us who are members of this church and those of us who are members of other churches and perhaps of no church. But we pray that we may somehow grab on to your vision for us and for our world and that we may receive your encouragement. We want to be strong, as our choir sang this morning, be strong in you, because we know that you are the one who gives us courage. You are the one who gives us fortitude. You are the one who gives us hope. Therefore, we pray for that on this day, as we have prayed earlier for many individuals who are in need of your prayer, your care. We particularly pray this day for our world. We know that there are tensions out there and there are threats, and we pray for our leaders that they may indeed keep cool heads and may act in wisdom and with imagination as they attempt to do the best for not just our country, but for the world. We pray for all those engaged in work right now, especially we think of those who are engaged in farming, and particularly dairy farmers right now who are having a real tough go of it. And we pray that you'll, again, help them with some imagination as they are challenged to think of new ways of farming, perhaps, new things for their lives. And We pray that somehow even our nation can come up with a more imaginative farm policy. We never have. But perhaps, Lord, you can help us do that. We pray, dear God, for all these things and others unnamed. As we simply pray for peace, we pray for love, that each of us, indeed, as Jesus instructed, may find a way and may imagine and then also do a love for other people, for your world, for ourselves. Now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.